So you mentioned the fact that alectinib, since this patient was initially diagnosed, got displaced crizotinib as first-line therapy. And now, as I was mentioning, this trial that was just reported with brigatinib. Can you talk about what they saw in that trial and how it compared indirectly to the trial with alectinib or the trials?
Sure. So the brigatinib versus crizotinib study that's now published in the New England Journal showed that the median PFS hazard ratio for brigatinib was 0.49. If you compare that to the ALEX trial, which was alectinib versus crizotinib, the median PFS there was 0.47. So these two drugs seem to have, even though we don't want to do trial-to-trial comparisons, they seem to be in the same ballpark. With brigatinib, what we had seen in the initial single-arm second-line studies was brain activity was quite impressive against brain metastases. We had seen that in the second-line setting, a patient with brain mets had a median PFS of 13, 14 months when they got brigatinib. And the question then is brigatinib going to be better for patients with brain mets compared to alectinib? We don't know the answer for that. The hazard ratio looked really good in the brigatinib versus crizotinib study for patients who came in with brain metastases. So I think we have two good options in the frontline setting for patients with ALK translocation. Alectinib is already firmed up in that space, median PFS of about 35 months, which is remarkable.
That's amazing. Amazing.
And brigatinib will probably get FDA approval soon, and we'll have two options.
What about the pulmonary reaction that's been observed with brigatinib? Was it seen in that trial? Have you seen it? What's it all about?
When we were doing clinical trials with brigatinib, I had one patient who developed the pulmonary toxicity. And this is what happened, and this is very typical from what I understand. The patient was started on day one on the clinical trial. 2 days later, he's in the emergency room with severe pulmonary toxicity. And we had to stop the drug, give him steroids. A few days later, he had improved substantially and was discharged home, and he did well. We did not rechallenge him with brigatinib. But the course of these events is that most of the events happen in the first week. So what is recommended is you give patients 90 milligrams per day of brigatinib for the first 7 days. And if they go through that well, then you go to the approved dose of 180 milligrams per day. And then you don't see that late in the course of treatment. It's the first few days. And it looks like interstitial pneumonitis on the radiographic images.
Really? Because I mean, I was trying to figure out by asking people what it actually was, and it sounded more like some kind of reaction as opposed to a pneumonitis. But now you're saying there's radiologic. So is it an acute pneumonitis?
Clinically, it behaves like a pneumonitis, at least in my experience. The good news is the overall incidence of this toxicity is only in the order of 2 to 3%. So it's not a frequent phenomenon, but I think physicians should be aware of this so they can act early on.
Do you think it could be some kind of immune reaction?
Possible. We just don't know what exactly the body is responding to.
I guess the other thing I've been hearing about brigatinib is when you do this dosing thing and therefore hopefully avoid this problem, I guess it does avoid it, that it's extremely well tolerated. Is that your take? Can you tell the difference? Is elect maybe different in terms of alectinib versus brigatinib?
So both are very good tolerated drugs. With brigatinib, you occasionally see hypertension. About 10-12% of the patients may need some form of an antihypertensive to manage it. Barring that, I think these are very well tolerated drugs.